Electoral uncertainty in Afghanistan isn't the only bump in the road to formulating a new American strategy there. Here's another. A State Department official in Afghanistan has resigned to protest the war. Excerpts from Matthew Ho's resignation letter appear in today's Washington Post. The diplomat said he's lost confidence in America's strategic purposes in Afghanistan. Andrew Basevich is a professor of international relations at Boston University. Andrew Basevich, what did you make of this letter?
Well, I think it's really a remarkable document. I mean, Matthew Ho has served his country with distinction in Iraq and Afghanistan, so he's not some crazy lefty peacenik. And I think his on-the-ground observations and skepticism about the purposefulness of the U.S. military effort there really deserve to be taken quite seriously.
And you share that skepticism. We also have on the line Peter Bergen of the New America Foundation. Peter Bergen, how does the letter strike you?
Well, you know, it's certainly one person's take, and he, as Professor Basevich points out, he had a long and distinguished career in the U.S. military, like Professor Basevich himself. But, you know, it sort of depends where you sit. I mean, he was in Zabul province. There are 34 other provinces in Afghanistan. I've been embedded in Zabul province with the 110th in 2006 when it was under a fair amount of Taliban attack. And there's no doubt that Zabul is one of the most intractable of the 34 provinces in the country. How applicable is that to every other province, you know, I think is highly debatable. In many of the other provinces, this is really sort of a non-issue.
But what about as a statement of one side of this debate that we're having? From where I sit, the two of you do encapsulate, in a way, two strong positions. Peter Bergen, I think you think we need to press ahead with this war. And Andrew Basevich, I think you would advocate extreme caution and, if I'm characterizing you properly, even reducing troop levels. We're at this moment where President Obama is consulting, and right now you can't force him to say what he's going to do. So we're all in this debate together, trying to decide what's going to happen in Afghanistan. And here's this letter really laying out a critique based on history as well, saying we...
From my point of view, the value of the letter comes from the way that Matthew Ho frames the problem. And I take the point that this is one guy offering a perspective from one particular place. But he offers a general observation in which he suggests that the motive force of the insurgency is not really to advance the purposes of the Taliban, but is really to fight against the foreign occupation. Moreover, he argues that the fact that the United States finds itself supporting what is, I think by anybody's evaluation, a corrupt and incompetent government has the unintended effect of further legitimizing the insurgency. So to the extent that you want to take this critique seriously, then it seems to me that the argument that more U.S. troops pursuing a counterinsurgency strategy can turn things around starts to look like a pretty dubious proposition.
Peter Bergen, what do you make of that?
Well, really, what is McChrystal suggesting? Essentially, he's suggesting a population-centric approach where you protect the big population centers and you withdraw from places like remote outposts in Zabul and other places where I think the American presence is an irritant. There may be more grounds for agreement than disagreement in the sense that a counterterrorism strategy in the rural, fairly unpopulated parts of Afghanistan sort of makes sense. A counterinsurgency approach in the more populated parts of Afghanistan also makes sense because only 12% of Afghanistan is cultivatable land, which means the vast majority of the population lives in a relatively small area, which can be protected. And one final point on this, which is that, you know, it'd be one thing if the Afghans wanted us all out, but we've had probably a dozen polls by the BBC, for instance, ABC News, the Asia Society, and poll after poll always finds the same thing, which is international forces continue to be regarded favorably by a majority of the population. The most recent poll, for instance, found that 63% of Afghans had a favorable view of the U.S. military, and a fairly extraordinary number given all the things that have gone wrong there in the past 8 years.
Peter Bergen, what about Professor Basevich's point that counterinsurgency relies on a credible partner? I mean, everybody's concerned about corruption in the government.
That is, of course, a very good point, but I think we need to do something much more basic before we get to the point. You know, there's going to be no perfect Afghan government for the foreseeable future. It's not a place which had, you know, enormously credible governments in the past. right now, what we're not delivering is something more basic, which is just security for the population. And, you know, before we sort of get to more fancy counterinsurgency notions of connecting people to the Afghan government, we just really need to produce security, which is the one thing the Taliban, when they were in power, managed to do.
Can outside forces do that? I mean, what about the point that so much blood and treasure is being spent on a venture that there's considerable skepticism about?
Towards the end of the second to the last paragraph in the resignation letter is the one point, I think, where Matthew Ho arguably goes outside his lane and comments on something that he probably doesn't have the personal expertise, and yet it's a very telling comment. He quotes what he says is some unnamed commander who apparently says to visitors in Afghanistan, "We are spending ourselves into oblivion." And Matthew Ho goes on in this letter to make the point that we're out of money. I mean, that this is an enterprise which holds the possibility of bankrupting the country, especially given the prospect that I think even proponents of the war share that this eight-year-long war is going to continue for many more years to come and consume many more hundreds of billions of dollars and no doubt hundreds, if not thousands, of American lives. So in a sense, his concluding point is, can we really afford this? And I think by implication, are there not alternatives to achieving our interests in Afghanistan that don't cost so much?
Peter Bergen, how do you measure the cost and how do you think about it as you support, presumably, McChrystal's strategy?
A couple of quick factual points. One is that, you know, as a percentage of GDP, the United States spending perhaps 4 to 5% on its military, of which historically Afghanistan has consumed less than 10%. So we're talking about, you know, 0.4% of the federal budget. Now, that is obviously going to go up. I think it's a very reasonable question to ask. But let's do the counterfactual. We say, well, okay, so let's do a sort of lighter approach, sort of more counterterrorism. Let's draw down. We're an irritant, et cetera. You know, that would all be fine and good if we hadn't already done that already for the past several years. I mean, that was essentially the Bush, adverse to nation-building approach where we had 6,000 American soldiers on the ground. That's about the size of a police department in a city like Houston, in a country the size of Texas, with a population of 30 million. And, you know, we got what we paid for. We did it on the cheap. The Taliban came back. They've morphed together ideologically and tactically with Al-Qaeda. So I think the burden is on, you know, the other side of this debate to say, well, how would it be different this time around that we're going to do the light approach, but somehow we're going to do it in a way that's either smarter or more efficacious or both?
Well, I think the answer to that, if I may, is that we haven't really been doing a counterterrorism approach during the period when Iraq was consuming all the resources. I think the most important element in a counterterrorism approach would be intelligence collection and surveillance. And during the years 2003 to 2008, Iraq was consuming intelligence and surveillance assets. Were they to be focused on Afghanistan, at least arguably, there might be some opportunity to make a counterterrorism strategy approach work.
Well, thank you both very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Andrew Bacevich is a professor of international relations at Boston University. His latest book is The Limits of Power, The End of American Exceptionalism. Peter Bergen is a scholar in residence at the New America Foundation.